सयोः सत्वं च मिश्रं न च कालविक्रमः न यत्र माया किमुता परे हरे अनुव्रता यत्र सुरा सुरार्चिताः प्रवर्तते यत्र रजस्तमस्तयोः सत्वं च मिश्रं न च कालविक्रमाः न यत्र माया किमुता परे हरे अनुव्रता यत्र सुरा सुरार्चिताः प्रवर्तते यत्र रजस्तमस्तयोः सत्वं च मिश्रं न च कालविक्रमाः न यत्र माया किमुता परे हरेर् अनुव्रता यत्र सुरा सुरार्चिताः प्रवर्तते यत्र रजस्तमस्तयोः अनुव्रता यत्र सुरा सुरार्चिताः प्रवर्तते यत्र रजस्तमस्तयोः सत्वं च मिश्रं न च कालविक्रमाः न यत्र माया किमुता परे हरेर् अनुव्रता यत्र सुरा सुरार्चिताः प्रवर्तते यत्र रजस्तमस्तयो सत्वं च मिश्रं न च कालविक्रमाः न यत्र माया किमुता परे हरेर् अनुव्रता यत्र सुरा सुरार्चिताः प्रवर्तते यत्र रजस्तमस्तयोः सत्वं च मिश्रं न च कालविक्रमाः न यत्र माया किमुता परे हरेर् अनुव्रता यत्र सुरा सुरार्चिताः प्रवर्तते प्रिवेल यत्र वेरिन रजतमः द मोड्स ऑफ पैशन एंड इग्नोरेंस तयोः ऑफ बोथ ऑफ देम सत्वम द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस च एंड मिश्रम मिक्सचर न नेवर च एंड काल टाइम विक्रमः इन्फ्लुएंस न नीदर यत्र therein. Maya, illusory external energy. Kim, what? Uta, there is. Apare, others. Harehe, of the personality of Godhead. Anuvrataha, devotees. Yatra, wherein. Sura, by the demigods. Asura, and the demons. Architaha, worshipped. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. In that personal abode of the Lord, the material modes of ignorance and passion do not prevail. Nor is there any of their influence in goodness. There is no predominance of the influence of time. So what to speak of the illusory energy, external energy? It cannot enter that region. Without discrimination, both the demigods and the demons worship the Lord as devotees. So I think in the previous class, which was on Sunday, a part of this purport has been already read. So I will be taking the purport which is after that part. So we begin from as quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami. Is it possible to reduce the speed of this fan? So, Haribol? Possible to reduce the speed of this fan? Don't switch it off, just reduce the speed. If possible, okay. Otherwise fine. Yeah. As quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami, as quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami, we can know from the Narada Pancharatra that the transcendental world or Vaikuntha atmosphere is enriched with the transcendental qualities. These transcendental qualities as revealed through the devotional service of the Lord. I'll just read this part because it's an important statement. As quoted by Jiva Goswami, we can know from the Narada Pancharatra that the transcendental world or Vaikuntha atmosphere is enriched with transcendental qualities. These transcendental qualities, as revealed through the devotional service of the Lord, are distinct from the mundane qualities of ignorance, passion, and goodness. Such qualities are not attained by non-devotee class of men. In Padma Puran, Uttarakhand, it is stated that beyond the 1/4 part of God's creation is the 3/4 manifestation. The marginal line between the material manifestation and the spiritual manifestation is the Viraja River. And beyond the Viraja, which is a transcendental current flowing from the perspiration of the body of the Lord, there is the 3/4 manifestation of God's creation. This part is eternal, everlasting, without deterioration, and unlimited, and it contains the highest perfectional stage of living conditions. In the Sankhya Kaumudi, it is stated that the unalloyed goodness or transcendence is just opposite to the material modes. All living entities there are eternally associated without any break. And the Lord is the chief and prime entity. The Agama Puranas also, in the Agama Puranas also, the transcendental abode is described as follows. The associated members there are free to go everywhere within the creation of the Lord, and there is no limit to such creation, particularly in the region of 3/4 magnitude. Since the nature of that region is unlimited, There is no history of such association, nor is there any end of it. The conclusion may be drawn that because the complete absence of the mundane qualities of ignorance and passion, there is no question of creation nor of annihilation. In the material world, everything is created and everything is annihilated, and the duration of life between the creation and annihilation is temporary. In the transcendental realm, there is no creation and no destruction, and thus the duration of life is eternal, unlimitedly. In other words, everything in the transcendental world is everlasting, full of knowledge and bliss, without deterioration. Since there is no deterioration, there is no past, present and future in the estimation of time. It is clearly stated in this verse that the influence of time is conspicuous by its absence. The whole material existence is manifested by actions and reactions of elements which make the influence of time prominent in the matter of past, present and future. There are no such actions and reactions of cause and effect there. So the cycle of birth, growth, existence, transformations, deteriorations and annihilation, the six material changes are not existent there. It is the unalloyed manifestation of the energy of the Lord without illusion as experienced here in the material world. The whole Vaikuntha existence proclaims that everyone there is a follower of the Lord. The Lord is the chief leader there without any competition for leadership. And the people in general are followers, are all followers of the Lord. It is confirmed in Vedas, therefore, that the Lord is the chief leader and all other living entities are subordinate to him. For only the Lord satisfies all the needs of all other living entities. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkrupa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrunda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So first of all, welcome everybody in today's Bhagavatam class. And before beginning, I would like to offer my humble obeisances at feet of all the Vaishnavas, my seniors, my godbrothers, and everyone who is listening to this online. So there are certain very important technical details which are mentioned in this verse. Basically, this is description of the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha Jagat. We know that Srimad Bhagavatam is supposed to be a postgraduate study of Bhagavad Gita. So in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Natad bhasete suryo na shashanko na pavakah yad gatvana nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. So it gives a brief understanding about the Lord. I remember many days back, I was distributing book in Malad station. And one young man came to me and he said, do you have a copy of Gita? I said, yes. He said, I want to show you something. He said, yes. And he opened this verse, Natad bhasayate suryo na shashanko na pavaka. And then he said, see, here it is mentioned that the abode of the Supreme Lord is all dark. It is completely black. There is no light. Why? Because there is no Surya, no Shashanka, no Pavakaha. That means there is no sun, no moon, and no electricity. So I sometimes get amused by this statement also that electricity is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita as Pavakaha. Prabhupada translates it as electricity. Pavaka literally would mean fire, illumination, or any such thing, but Prabhupada's categorically translates it as electricity. So electricity is not probably something which is new. It existed many years back. It may have re-manifested itself. In Bhagavatam, there is a pastime of Lord Krishna where he went and he attacked Bhumasur. And Bhagavatam mentions that the castle of Bhumasur was protected by electrical lines. Like there were lines which were charged with electric current. So electricity existed. Maybe it was not easily available to everybody. Right? But it existed. So this is the quality of Kali Yuga, that everything which is only attainable to few people is literally made available to everybody. So that is true for devotional service also. So because pure devotional service is attainable to very few, but in Kali Yuga it is made available for everybody. Electricity only few, but in Kali Yuga for everybody. So there is a very high chance of misuse and getting short-circuited and probably electrocuted. So therefore you have to be very careful in spiritual life also, because it is only meant for very few, but because of Kali Yuga and power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been made available to everybody. So electricity existed even at that time. The point which I am trying to make is that Krishna just gives an introduction, but in Bhagavatam we hear much more details about what is the spiritual world. And generally, you know, and of course, who is doing this description here? It is given by Lord Brahma himself. So if you go few chapters back, so Lord Brahma has got a vision of the spiritual world and is describing it. So he's putting it down. And Vyasadeva has sort of penned it down for all of us. So why this vision of spiritual world is given? Because we know that if you want to create anything, you need to first create a sample of it. Like some of you may have gone to see some flats in some buildings, some new project is coming up. So they have a small model which they create. So before you buy a flat, they show you, this is the model. This is how your building is going to look like. Are you happy with it? So then you say, "Ha, okay. The swimming pool is there, the garden is there, terrace garden is there." I say, you know, just an incident in my, I had gone to see one project like that. So I saw this entire project and it was a huge building in the middle of Kandivali somewhere. Huge project. I think some 2,000, 3,000 houses in that entire project. Or not maybe 2,000, maybe 1,000 houses in the entire project. So I looked at the entire massive this and I said, where are they going to get water from? Do you have wells or any bore well or anything like that? He said, no sir, we don't have that yet. So the 2,000 people are going to be without water? So that's not proper, right? And do you feel there is enough water in Mumbai, especially now since it has not rained in so many days? So it's a horrible thing. So these types of models, they are not very useful. But when Lord Krishna is showing how Brahma has to create the material world, He is showing the model of the spiritual world. See, this is. But all of this. But then you have to take a perverted reflection. So you have to introduce one factor called as time. Everything is there, very similar, but there is this time, and because of time there is this transformation which is going to happen. So we will take a look at that. So these are a few things, technical things which are mentioned. And some of the things which are mentioned are very nice, which we should all know. One is that the spiritual world has been mentioned as 3/4 size of the material world. And in the later part of the purport, Prabhupada says not by size. So somewhere it is mentioned. If I come across that line, we will see it once again. Yeah. Since the nature of the region is unlimited. Yeah. See here. The associated members, there are free to go everywhere within the creation, and there is no limit to such creation, particularly in the region of the 3/4 magnitude. So what is the meaning of this? In one time it is said that it is 3/4 in magnitude, and also it is mentioned that there is no limit. So how do you understand? If material world is 1/4, spiritual world is the 3/4 size, but it is unlimited. So it cannot be understood. So it is 3/4, but it is unlimited. It's 3/4 part of the creation. That's it. That's all. There is no intellectual analysis of this fact. You just have to accept it as is. Yeah, after the lecture we can take. Yeah, after the class, if you don't mind. So that is one thing. Anyway, I'm not going to give a big class. It's just going to be a short presentation, so all of us can then discuss. Yeah. So these are a few technical things. Now there is one very powerful statement which is mentioned here, and I will like to begin the discussion with that. It is mentioned in this verse that in Vaikuntha, without discrimination, both the demigods and demons, they worship the Lord as devotees. Now this is a very fascinating statement. So, in spiritual world, both demons and demigods are worshipping the Lord as devotees. It doesn't make any sense. That means demons can go to spiritual world, demigods can go to spiritual world, so it's a very confusing statement. But this statement is very wonderfully explained by Jiva Goswami, the first line of this purport. Now I will just read that first line, which gives you a hint in what is the meaning of this statement and how we should understand it. It says, as quoted by Jiva Goswami, we can know from Narada Pancharatra that the transcendental world of Vaikuntha atmosphere is enriched with transcendental qualities. These qualities, as revealed through the devotional service of the Lord, are distinct from the mundane qualities of ignorance, passion and goodness. So what is he trying to say here? That the quality of spiritual world, that there are transcendental, one of the attributes of the spiritual world, that there are transcendental qualities. That means the gunavatta which is there in the spiritual world is transcendental. Daivi gunavatta hai vahan pe. Theek hai? But the manifestation of that quality is happening through devotional service. So therefore what we understand is that any place where the devotional service is being rendered with transcendental qualities is to be called as Vaikuntha. So, the description of the spiritual world, because one of the property of the spiritual world is that it's unlimited. So, spiritual world cannot be bounded only to the limits of the spiritual world. It can actually penetrate even into the material world and the qualities can be seen. Now, what is the quality of that Vaikuntha? The quality of that Vaikuntha is that both demigods and demons indiscriminately worship the Lord. And that's where the entire essence of spiritual life is. Now, when it says demons and demigods, is it talking about the demons who are actually demons in terms of, wanting to control, wanting to destroy? Because see, one of the quality of demigod is creation. We see Brahma as one of the chief demigods. And he is in charge of creation. The demigods keep on creating. We know that as Varuna Dev, there is so much of jewels and gems and rubies which are created in the ocean. We know that as sun god, there is so much of sunlight that is created. The rains that we are experiencing now are also actually created by the sunlight. They are also part of the creation of sunlight. Right? So demigods are in charge of creation. And demons typically go and they destroy everything because they like destruction. Right? And one of the quality of spiritual world which is mentioned here is that there is no creation, there is no destruction. So then who are these demons and demigods there? Right? So they are not doing the job of creation and destruction there. They are doing the job of pleasing Krishna. Which means that in a scenario which is supposed to be like Vaikuntha, there could be people who are demigods and there could be people who are demons. Right? But when there is kirtan going on, they all hold hand together and they chant and dance together. This is important. And they don't discriminate that, oh, he is a demon and he is a demigod. Right? So in this way, and you know, there is a spiritual consciousness, a spiritual thought, and then there is a material consideration also. So like Srila Prabhupada said, that devotees don't discriminate between human beings and animals and things like that. They are equal to all. But does that mean that you will go and embrace a tiger? No. Right? You may embrace a cat, but not a tiger. Then you may say, oh, but you know, it's the same breed. Why are you discriminating like this? You know, if with cat you are doing so much of cuddling, with tiger you are running away. No, that is Vivek. That is the Vivek Buddhi. You have the, there you have to exercise discrimination. Right? But a devotee prays in the heart equally for the cat and the tiger. There is no discrimination. So when you are giving mercy, when you are giving stuff, then there is no discrimination. But when you are accepting something, there is discrimination. Right? So devotees have to follow it very clearly. Now, you know, sometimes the reason I am saying is, Krishna consciousness means to understand what is the consciousness of Krishna, also Prabhupada said. So that one thing, coming back to this concept of demons and devotees together. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very beautiful statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whenever I read it, I literally get completely amused by that statement. And I recently came across it and I was like wondering how Krishna thinks like this. You see, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world, that time the Mughal rule was just rising to its power. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged it in such a wonderful way that the people who were rulers around that time, they still were very special personalities. So for example, we know that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching and he was doing kirtan, there was this great ruler called as Nawab Hussain Shah. Yeah, we all know it. And I was a bit curious to understand which dynasty this Nawab Hussain Shah came from. So because at that time, if you see, the first Mughals which came to India and they actually attacked India, like right from the time of Alauddin Khilji and his brother, his uncle Jalaluddin Khilji and all of them, they actually belong to the clans of sultans. Right? So they are sultans. They are not Mughals. Mughals come later on when Babur entered India. So I was a bit curious to know this Nawab Hussain Shah, whether he's a sultan or a Mughal. And interestingly, if you study history, it clearly says that Nawab Hussain Shah was neither a Mughal nor a sultan. Neither a Mughal nor a sultan. He was some separate breed only. I don't know from where it came, where he came, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged it. So he did not have that type of a, although he was a Islamic ruler, no question about it. But he was neither a Mughal nor a sultan. So Mahaprabhu arranged it like that. Right? Now, 500 years back, there was a lot of opposition even for openly preaching Krishna consciousness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, at one point in time, he took out this massive Harinam Sankirtan, and then there was a local governor called Chan Kazi. He used to obstruct Mahaprabhu's or devotees' preaching. And Mahaprabhu wanted to make a very clear, straightforward point that no more obstruction for preaching. So all the devotees came together, they marched in procession, they went to the house of Chan Kazi. Chan Kazi was scared. Later on, Mahaprabhu gave him the mercy. We know that wonderful pastime. Right? So Mahaprabhu had his own way of handling this entire opposition. But we did not somehow see a quality in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that how let's destroy this entire Islamic rule. You know, what can we do to completely destroy these Yavanas? He has not said like that. And there is this conversation between Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu where Haridas Thakur says, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Haridas, "Oh Haridas, I have come here to deliver all the fallen souls." He says, "But I am actually worried about these Yavanas." And he says, "How will they be delivered? I don't know." And he says, "Chaitanya Charitamrita." Yeah, you all must have studied it, read it. But it is there. So, see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he doesn't think the way all the normal all of us think, right? His thought is different. He's Krishna. See, for Krishna, everyone is children. Yeah, whichever caste they are born, so one could be a demonic person, one could be a demigod. For Krishna point of view, that demon is still a child of Krishna. So Krishna's point of view is that how will they be delivered? He's asking a question like that. And Haridas Thakur, you know, he came from a Yavana background himself. You know, he was born a Muslim, but then he became a very great devotee. So Haridas Thakur says, he says, "Mahaprabhu, you don't worry." He says, "These Yavanas, they like to use this word haram, haram like that. And when they use this word haram, there is Ram in that. And there is ha in Sanskrit sometimes, you know, in, you know that you have already read that Ram Raksha Sotra. Ramo Rajamani Sada Vijayate Ramam Ramesham Bhaje. Ramena Bhiyata Nishachara Chamu Ramaya Tasmai Nama. Ramat Nasti Parayanam Paratram Ramasya Dasosmiham. Rame Chitta Laya Sada Bhavatume Bho Rama Ma Uddhara." Right? So yeah, this is actually the Prathama, Dvitiya, Tritiya Vibhakti of Sanskrit. So if you want to use the Rama Shabda, so Ramo, Ramaha. So Ramaha, Rajamani, Sada Vijayate, Ramam. Ramam is Dvitiya. Ramena Bhiyata is Tritiya. Ramaya Tasmainama is Chaturthi. Ramat Nasti Parayanam is Panchami. Ramasya Dasosvami Shashti. Rame Chitta Laya Sada Bhavatu Laya Saptami. And Bho Rama is Sambodhan. Yeah. So Bho Rama in Sanskrit sometimes is also called as Ha Rama. So in Sanskrit language sometimes, you know, there's a verbal way of saying something and written way of saying something. So if you're writing, you may write Bho Rama. But while speaking, you may just say Ha Rama like that. So Haridas Thakur is saying, actually they are chanting Hey Rama. They are actually calling out for Ha. Ha is like calling out Sambodhan. And Rama is the Sambodhan Ekvachan. So Ha Rama actually means they keep on saying Haram, Haram, Haram like that. Right? Even in the labels you will see it's Haram. Or Halal or whatever. You know, if it's not Halal, it's Haram. Correct? But because they are calling this Haram, what is going to happen is, that's going to purify them. So you don't worry about it. Your holy name is so powerful that the chanting of your name will purify them. So the point which I was trying to say is, Krishna's thinking is different. Krishna is thinking, how can we deliver? Because he is the father of all the living entities. He has to worry. He is saying that when Lord Krishna was there, he took the charge of destroying all the demons. No, he did that job. But as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "My job is not destroying everybody. My job is to transform. How will I transform? The way I will do it is by the holy name." And Haridas Thakur reminded. And Krishna Skandar Goswami writes in the purport that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reminded of this, he became very happy and satisfied. That, oh yeah, the haram is still there. You know, it's
That'll take care of the whole thing. You know, so he said it like that. So it's so wonderful. When I read it, I was like completely surprised. And I was amazed. So, in spiritual life is a place where there is place for everybody. Whether you are from a high class personality, a low class personality, whether you are a so-called Hindu or a Christian or a whichever religion that you belong to, there is a place for you. And there is all the facility for you to come and dance and sing together the glories of Krishna. Where that facility is available and where those things are being practiced, that is Vaikuntha. That place is called as Vaikuntha. And that's what Srila Prabhupada said, that our temples in the material world are actually the places of Vaikuntha. Because here you can come together, demons and devotees can come together and surarchita and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead equally without any discrimination. They can sit together, they can pluck flowers together as they do in Pushyabhishek. Radhanath Maharaj always brings up this point. He says that in Pushyabhishek, I see people who are from maybe Dharavi slums and people who are from the elite, you know, Altamount Road. They're all sitting together and they're plucking the flowers together, right? So everyone can come and together that place becomes Vaikuntha. So this is what we understand from this one. I like this particular line very much, that Vaikuntha is a place where demons and demigods together, they worship the Lord. So this is very wonderful. Another wonderful thing which Prabhupada highlights in this purport as a quality of Vaikuntha is, there is one more thing. Prabhupada says here, this is one quality. He says that there is no cause and effect that is found in this material world. So in the spiritual world, there is no cause and there is no effect. So what is the meaning of that? So in this place, everything has a cause. So like if something happens, then the investigation is done on how it actually happened. The accident takes place. There is some investigation done how the accident took place. Right? So there is a cause and that's why the effect has happened. Like you may say, Prahlad Priyadas is sitting and giving Bhagavatam class. What is the cause of that? The cause is because somebody put my name in the chat and told me, Prabhu, you have to come and speak. That is the cause. Right? That's why you have to come and give the seva. So everything has a cause. Why did you come to temple? You know, because some reason. You know, I had promised something, and some thought came in my mind, whatever. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. In spiritual world, there is no cause and effect. So what is the meaning of that? The meaning of that is, this is how I understood it, and this is how I learnt it. In our temple, there is one wonderful devotee. Now he's not there. He's sometimes you see in Vrindavan. Very old person. His name is Mathuraman Prabhu. How many of you know him? Mathuraman Prabhu Brahmachari. You not seen him? You not seen him, Prabhu? Really? Must be 62, 63 now, or maybe more than that. So earlier now, there was a particular way. He used to always go in the terrace and start his japa at 2:30. So 2:30 to 4:30 he would chant 16 rounds. And then he would come down here again and chant with devotees again 16 rounds. So I said, Prabhuji, matlab itna chanting kyun kar rahe ho aap? Abhi you are an old person, you are chanting. And first of all, how are you even able to chant so much? Means for me personally, 16 rounds, sometimes, you know, you take out the beads and see that how many four are remaining. And then you have this counting beads, you are looking at the counting beads, ke abhi kitna bacha hai, kitna bacha hai. Sometimes you are chanting and wife also comes and says, matlab kitna baki hai. You know, so that whole idea of kitna bacha hai, that very strongly there. He says, he told me that, you know, the way you chant is not for completing the rounds. I chant only to give pleasure to Radha and Krishna. So therefore I can keep on chanting. So that's why I chant. So the only cause there is pleasure of Radha Krishna in spiritual world. There is no other cause. Why do Yashodamai dresses Lord Krishna? To give pleasure to Krishna. Why do gopis come and want to dance with Krishna? Not because they want to practice dancing. Not because Navaratra is coming, so now do practice with Krishna for Janmashtami, and then Navaratra you can perform. Not like that. You know, that's to give pleasure to Krishna. So everything is done to pleasure, give pleasure to Krishna, and Krishna is the cause of all causes. Right? So therefore there is no cause and effect. Everything, there is Krishna only. And there is no effect. So everything is being done for giving pleasure to Krishna. Right? And now, because we are talking about Srila Haridas Thakur, right? Now this particular fact of giving pleasure to Krishna is exemplified in one pastime of Srila Haridas Thakur. And you know, you were there, we were discussing the pastime the other day. But that pastime is very beautiful. I'll just give a very short. So all of you know that Srila Haridas Thakur, he was staying in a place called Benapol. And there was this one very evil-minded governor of the name, he was actually a tax collector of the name Ramachandra Khan, right? So he wanted to test Haridas Thakur. He wanted to, in fact, spoil Haridas Thakur's fame because he was feeling envious for him. So he sent this prostitute. And this prostitute really could not convert Srila Haridas Thakur. But because she was listening to the holy name chanted by Haridas Thakur, she herself got converted. After that, what happened to Ramachandra Khan is very interesting. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is written very nicely. It says that Ramachandra Khan was anyway atheist. But after offending Haridas Thakur, he became a asuric demon. Like he became a demon like Asura. Right? So that's what, when you are saying here that demons and demigods are together worshipping Krishna, that demon is simply a classification of his bodily identification or classification of his, it's a category, and does not mean that he is a person who is hating Krishna. Right? And here, Ramachandra Khan, it's mentioned that because he offended Haridas Thakur, he actually developed a hatred for Lord Krishna in the heart. How was that manifested? When Nityananda Prabhu then visited his house, he was sitting in the Durga Mandap. So that's like a probably a nice constructed place outside. So he probably wanted to come and take rest there. Ramachandra Khan did not even go and receive Nityananda Prabhu. He sent his nokar, he sent his servant and said, Nityananda Prabhu, this is not a place for you. Your arrangement is to be done in some goshala. Please go away from here. He just sent a message like that. Nityananda Prabhu became very angry. He said, what is this? Nityananda Prabhu in a very sarcastic mood said, yeah, I know this place is not good for me. This place is good for a meat eater. A beef eater. He said like that. And he just left angrily. Right? Very soon what happened is because he was in the profession of a tax collector, he made a mistake in submitting his taxes back to the governor. And the governor, who was an Islamic person, came to that place, destroyed his house, stayed in that Durga Mandap, killed a cow there, cooked whatever that's supposed to be cooked there for 3 days, destroyed the entire village. And then Krishna Skrita Goswami says that this is what happened to him. Right? Okay, after Nityananda Prabhu left, he did not feel sorry about it. Ramachandra Khan actually told a servant that please clean up this place where Nityananda Prabhu was sitting and cover it with gobar and Gomutra like that. So what kind of hatred that you can develop for the Lord? That is seen there. Right? So he developed a hatred for the Lord. Well, after all this thing happened, Haridas Thakur did not feel very happy about it. Like, you know, the village is destroyed. Ramachandra Khan's family is destroyed. Haridas Thakur felt sad. So he just left that place. He went ahead. So went to a place called Chandpur. And this Chandpur, there were two great other tax collectors. Their name was Hiranya Mujumdar and Govardhan Mujumdar. Right? They were very great people. And they had a small son. His name was Raghunath, who later on became Raghunath Das Goswami. So they had a priest also. His name was Balaram Acharya. And Haridas Thakur was a very close friendship with Balaram Acharya. So he stayed at the house of Balaram Acharya. And then daily, they would invite him to come and speak. So one day, the Balaram Acharya really requested, you know, that daily that there are discussions happening of Harikatha and holy name. Haridas Thakur, why don't you come? One day you speak about the holy name. Everyone knows you, that you are such a wonderful chanter of the holy name. You come and speak. So Haridas Thakur said, okay, I'll come and speak. So Haridas Thakur agreed to go. So as soon as they saw Haridas Thakur, you know, It's like the glory of a Vaishnava travels before, ahead of the Vaishnava. So they were like so elated that Haridas Thakur actually came. They immediately got up and they started all talking about holy name and glorifying the holy name. And in the discussions, one person said, you know, here is this great Saint Haridas who chants, you know, 300,000 names, 3 lakh names of Lord Krishna every day. And the name of Lord Krishna is so powerful. Simply by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, one's sins are completely destroyed. Another person said that, no, not just the sins are destroyed, but by chanting the names of the Lord, one attains moksha. So as Haridas Thakur was walking, he was listening to all this. Right? So even as he was approaching, he felt so disturbed by this. Right? So just to bring this point that there is no cause and effect. So why are you chanting the holy name? You may say, oh, I chant the holy name because my sins will be destroyed. My karma will be destroyed. That's how sometimes we preach, right? Or somebody may say, oh, I want to chant the holy name because I will get moksha. Right? But these two things were very disturbing to Haridas Thakur when he heard. So from, as he was approaching only, he said, no. These are not the main effects of chanting the holy names. The main effect of chanting the holy name is that one attains the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And one gets the love for Krishna. And then he started quoting verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. That how by just offenseless chanting of the holy name, one immediately becomes elated and one starts dancing in ecstasy. And then Haridas Thakur said that if this same holy name is simply chanted, you know, it's even there is a namabhas. Namabhas means a chanting which is just done and it is offenseless. There is no offense committed in chanting that offense. He said that even this namabhas chanting is enough to destroy all the sins. In fact, destruction of sins and attainment of moksha is an insignificant byproduct of chanting the holy names. That's what Haridas Thakur mentioned. So this is the point which I was trying to mention that, and then of course Haridas Thakur gave a wonderful example. He said that just as the sun rises in the sky, even before the sun comes out, like the sun has not yet come out, but the darkness is completely destroyed. Right? And the fear that person may have in the heart of darkness is also destroyed. You can actually experience it. You know, I don't know if you have been to villages where there is no electricity. You're talking about electricity in spiritual world. Sometimes you make a point, go to a village where there is no electricity and come out at 3 o'clock in the night, 4 o'clock in the night. It's completely dark. Full dark. You actually get scared. You don't know. Some animal may come from somewhere. Some thief may come from somewhere. Because you are not able to see anything. Right? You may see some small dots somewhere far. But apart from that, it's just complete darkness. But as soon as it's 5:45, you know, the sky becomes bluish. And immediately there is light everywhere. Sun has not even come. Immediately there is light and the fear of the thieves is gone, is destroyed. Right? So, and what happens when the sun comes out? When the sun comes out, you can see everything very clearly and people start engaging in their duties. Similarly, Haridas Thakur said, even with namabhas, the sins are destroyed. One attains moksha immediately. And when the full love of the Lord is awakened, which is like the rising of the sun, one starts seeing everything in the right perspective. Right? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one has infinite love for Krishna. When that love is reposed to a living entity, it becomes compassion. That's how we can understand when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about Yavanas, he is not talking about destroying them. Because that infinite, because his perspective of looking at things is different than our perspective. Because he is living in a life of complete awakening state of the love of God. Yeah. So this is something that every devotee should carry at the back of his mind while living into this world. That my ultimate responsibility is that I have to take forward the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of compassion. That doesn't mean that one does not do the needful that is required in the life. Needful things one has to do. But at the back of the mind, one knows that I have to carry the mission of the Lord, which is the spreading compassion. That is a very powerful. Because we are not able to see the things that he is able to see them. But because he is able to see, he has the awakened love of God. Therefore, and then, as the sun comes out, people start engaging in their duties. Similarly, as the love of God is awakened in the heart, we start engaging in our duty, which is serving Krishna. Jivera Swarupa hai Krishna Nityadas. That's our transcendental duty. That is automatically awakened. Right? That is Vaikuntha atmosphere. So actually, see, it's not like when you go to Vaikuntha, you can actually make an effort to go there. It's not like you have to keep on asking, okay, kitna paisa lagta hai? You know, how much, kitna ticket hai? Vaikuntha jane ka hai? You know, how much is the ticket that I have to pay? You cannot buy a ticket to Vaikuntha. That's not possible. In fact, Prabhupada says that you cannot even buy a ticket to Vrindavan. I remember many, many years back when we visited Vrindavan in Barsana, we were sitting there at the feet of one great saint, Ramesh Babaji. And he told us, aapko sabko lagta hoga ki aap ticket leke Barsana aaye hain. Aise ticket leke koi Barsana nahi aa sakta. Aap yahan pe aaye ho kyunki aapko Radha Rani ne bulaya hai. Like that he said, very clearly. And that went so much deep in my heart, that statement. That you have come here not because you have purchased a ticket. Because Radharani is calling you. That's why you have come. We were actually talking about this Viraja river. I was listening to one class on the same verse by our Sakha Gadadhar Prabhu. And he made a beautiful point. He said this Viraja river is a river between the material world and the spiritual world. And one of the quality of the spiritual world mentioned in this purport is that there is no Maya Devi. Maya does not exist in the spiritual world. So you may wonder then who exists? So it is mentioned in some shastras that as the living entity is going to the spiritual world, you know, they wait at the Viraja river. They don't cross the Viraja river. Then from the other side, Srimati Radharani comes. Then he holds that person's hand and makes him cross the Viraja river. And then you enter into the spiritual abode of Vaikuntha. This is mentioned. I was just listening to his class. He was mentioning that point. It is so amazing thing, right? And for every living entity, it's not that only for some special living entity. Everyone who goes to spiritual world, Radharani comes, takes the living entity, makes him cross the Viraja river, then they go to spiritual world. So this is how the spiritual world is. It's completely different. So one quality we learnt is that demons and demigods together are able to worship. Second quality we learnt is that there is no cause and effect. And this is one more third quality which I think I'll mention it because it's already late. And then I will end here. And then fourth quality also we'll just touch upon. The third quality which is mentioned is that living entity is free to go everywhere. So a perfected living entity from the spiritual world is actually free to go everywhere. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada would say that if you have not perfected your life, your spiritual master will come again for you to take you back. And then he said, plus, please don't make him do that. Please don't make him do that. So you may feel, Are, how is it that spiritual master will go to spiritual world? And Krishna says that, you know, Yad Gatvana Nivartante. Once you come there, you don't come back to the material world. But another quality is that the living entity is free to go everywhere where they want to go. Right? So spiritual master may again come. Because he wants to go. He wants to reclaim those souls back. So he will come. So that is one quality of spiritual world. You are free to go everywhere. And actual meaning of the word freedom is that you are free to go everywhere. That's the name of the actual meaning of freedom. So I want to go somewhere. I'm not sure how many of course all of you were there experiencing lockdown just 2 years back, 3 years back, right? Wasn't it a very frustrating situation? Wasn't it the case where people actually went to depression and problems, right? Many had serious issues, right? Right. The reason is because people were not able to go out. The nature of the soul is being able to go out everywhere, right? Therefore, you know, next time when you want to see a parrot in a cage, think of the lockdown, how you were experiencing, right? So, I somehow never like it. Whenever I see birds in the cage, you just feel like opening the cage and releasing the bird. Just go. Release it. Because it's a very painful situation. Right? Even if you're just put in a house, 3 BHK house, well furnished, but not allowed to go out. It's so miserable. What to speak of a small cage? You know, sometimes people put aquarium, small pot, 3-4 fishes like that for some improving of vastu. I mean, it may be improving the vastu, but it's so painful. I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness and I took out Bhagavatam, the first line of Bhagavatam preface, Prabhupada says that living entities, one of the quality of living entity is freedom. You know, the great Lokmanya Tilak also, he said that, Swarajya ha maza janma siddha adhikar. Swatantrata is janma siddha. As soon as you are born, you have the right of freedom. Right? So the moment I read that line, that spiritual life means freedom, I took that aquarium to a nearby pond and released those fishes there. So you cannot, because that's what living entities, quality is that, you know, they have to be free. Right? So actually freedom, ability to go everywhere, that is attained by Nitya Siddha devotees. That is the quality of the spiritual world. And the fourth, Prabhupada says in the purport, that in the spiritual world, there is only one Lord, one Master, and He is Krishna. And He is a Lord without any competition. Prabhupada says that. The undisputable Lord. Right? So, when Prabhupada says that, you know, my temples are Vaikuntha, that means here there is only one Lord. And He is undisputable. He is there. Everyone else is His servant. Nobody, there is no competition. So there is nobody can say that, no, you know, I have been serving for so long. But still He only is the Master. You may be serving for how many long, or whatever position you have, ultimately you are still a servant. So we'll actually end here. That's all. The four things about Vaikuntha. The demons and devotees can dance together. Second, there is no cause and effect. There is just pleasure of Krishna. Third, there is absolute freedom. And fourth, there is only one Supreme Lord, that is Krishna. That is Vaikuntha world. Granthana Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Any questions? I think we are late, but don't ask questions right now. You can take it offline. Hare Krishna.